What's going on, guys? I'm back with a thought-provoking idea, video, whatever you want to call it. And I'm here on a mission to spread privacy, security, and my knowledge that I obtain from people that are very smart, and also my personal experience. That is the whole point of this podcast. That is the whole point of my YouTube channel. I now have a blog. That is pretty much the point in general. I'm a non-tech worker. I don't even work really in the tech field. So I'm trying to come as a normal user and explain stuff as easy as possible for people to understand, answer questions when people have questions, point them in the direction of research and information for them to maybe have a better person to explain it. That is the purpose. That is the purpose of this entire thing, because I truly think that free and open source software liberates people. I believe that most, if not the majority of proprietary software, whether it's good or bad, is a form of digital slavery. And I try to come as a practical approach. One of the biggest issues and my biggest gripes in the privacy and security space is how easy it is to lie. Now, before we get to the main crust of this giant pie, I just want to do something real quick and direct people to the fact that I am on YouTube. I have a website, like a blog now. And I also have a Discord channel. I'm on Rumble. I'm on Noster. I also have a Matrix channel. I have a XMPP channel. And I have a SimpleX server. I encourage people to join because I want them to have a place where they can freely talk about their ideas. They can freely discuss with other people and their OPSEC, you know, opinions, their server opinions. These are all things that I want because I want the community in this space to grow to the point where I no longer have to do this. That is the goal, is to make, you know, it's strong, our privacy and security stronger, the default option, just like opting out, the default option, etc., etc. And I do this all behind no paywall, no affiliation, no affiliates, markets or click links, no monetization, no ad revenue, none of it. Completely, entirely for free. And I do that because I think people ought to have the right to this kind of information. Maybe down the line, I will find a way to possibly monetize in a sense. I do accept Monero donations, Lightning donations, as I believe in value for value. So if you get value out of this, please do so. If not, no harm, no foul. Do not care, because I want people to have access to this kind of information. Obviously, there's 1,000,000,000 other podcasts out there, and time is valuable. So I try to rant in a direction that hopefully is enjoyable to the listener, and most importantly, they get some small information out of this. That is always my goal. If I affect one person and then they spread this information to other people, then I can spread, you know, like a virus, but like a good one, I guess. Now, to the main core of this, and my issue in the privacy and security space, just like the internet, anyone can open up their computer, open up their mic, and start talking into it, just like me. And we have a lot of grifters in this kind of space. And this isn't to point fingers at anyone. Obviously, you can make a lot of money in this space. People say that you can't. You definitely can. You can take huge VPN sponsorships. You can take huge sponsorships from quote-unquote private, secure, super unhackable encrypted phones, which is what we're going to talk about. And my main issue with virtue signaling, or I guess paranoid spreading where it makes people go down the wrong rabbit hole. They get fed a lot of this FUD, and then they end up doing security theater, or they protect themselves with these things that they think they have ultimate anonymity, which is a problem. Now, in the terms of OPSEC, and which is operational security, and in the terms of good privacy-preserving technologies, you have to take everything with a slight grain of salt. There will be a vulnerability. There will be a compromise. You will make a mistake, which the problem is with bad guys, they can make almost zero mistakes. And same thing, but the FBI, threat actors, nation state actors, hackers, they might be able to make millions of mistakes because they don't care. They have unlimited funding. They have time. Maybe they're in a country that doesn't matter, where hacking isn't illegal. But the worst is when you're on that end and you fundamentally cannot make a mistake. You can't, you know, give out the wrong email address, give out the wrong username that correlates to you, not update your software, etc., etc. Now, you might asking, what's the point? The point is, there's a lot of people in this space now because it's getting widely popular, and you can look at maybe the data, the shifting to more private and open source alternatives. People are becoming somewhat aware of this. If 10 years ago you asked me, hey, you know, if someone was in public and they're like, hey, your phone's listening to you, they probably would think you're kind of crazy, kind of cuckoo. Maybe even 15 years ago, let's go a little bit farther, they're like, you're crazy, you're cuckoo. Even though it was kind of somewhat relevant that the Edward Snowden uncovered that the NSA was spying on us. Now, because advertising and fingerprinting has gotten so good, it doesn't need to listen to your, an always-on device mic, microphone. We just kind of hand our data over. Like, here's my email address when I walk into the store. Here's my phone number to sign up for this. Here's, let's use unencrypted chat. All these things. And that has created what I would call a deep pocket inside the internet. A deep pocket where people are knowledgeable, aka influencer, quote unquote influencers, where they're knowledgeable. They know a lot of this shit doesn't work, and or it's a small solution to a small problem, and then they sell it, or they make it. Or the federal governments know that criminals like this, and then they set up sting operations, which we're going to get into in a minute. So, first, anytime someone trying to sell you a solution, like sell you a solution, and it seems like they're making a problem, that should be an immediate red flag. Do I think that there are good products out there where the developers aren't doing it for the money and they're genuinely doing it because they think that this would be better for society? Absolutely. I mean, Linux, SimpleX, Signal, all these things are literally because I think they actually care to a certain degree about people having the ability of free speech and privacy. And I think also anonymity, which that's a totally separate thing, the ability to do journalism without, especially if it's dangerous, without revealing your identity, all these things are important. You do not have free speech if you do not have privacy. And I've always thought that the number one right that people should have to is privacy, because if we do not have that, we do not have a society, a free society. We do not have a system. You might as well just put an implant in my brain and listen to all my thoughts. If I cannot criticize, you know, the government with some form of anonymity, then I don't want to be a part of that society. Because whether I show my identity or not, I should be able to criticize and still sanctify my privacy. I'm not a public servant. You know, I do not work for the public. I fund that. You know, I find that. That's just my general take. I think I heard a quote not too long ago. If you give a man a mask, he'll tell the truth. Like, you know, kind of thing. Like, without any thought. But we've gotten to the point where people are uploading their entire lives to the internet, and not for the better, but maybe for the worst. So this has opened up a deep voided pocket in the space where people are starting to enter into it and trying to make, you know, a dollar, a huge amount of money, where I wouldn't call them honeypots, but I would call them, you know, shill phones, or kind of like grifter phones, like the grifter phones. Like, first one we're going to talk about is the freedom phone. But before we get into that, we're going to do a little, I'm going to give you a little context. Graphene OS is the only Android operating system fork that I run, and the only one that in current 2025 that I slightly trust to a certain degree. They're very transparent. They're very open. They give their opinions on if you do not want to run Graphene OS, that you should use stock Android, how you should run stock Android to increase your security, how to fix certain parts in Android. They fix certain parts in Android that a lot of people do benefit from. I mean, this is something that you need to take into consideration. If you do not trust the Graphene OS developers, then you might as well just run stock Android, use a dummy, never touched anything to anything, Google account in the Play Store, and then make sure that you're only installing the minimum amount of apps. Also, if you don't want to go that route with the Google Play Store, you can just download pure APKs with Obtainium, and there you go. Obviously, verify what you're downloading, give little to no trust, and make sure that you are doing your due diligence when you are downloading these applications, because they could be a privacy and or security threat. I think if you care about privacy and security, Graphene OS should be at your top level. If your second is, and you don't feel comfortable using it, your second should just be stock Android. And this is going to sound crazy, but if you're third and you feel like you have no option, just pick an iPhone. iPhones have very good security. Their privacy, and on the other hand, is something to be questioned. You cannot trust them because they are a black box at the end of the day. I do not use an iPhone. I would never use an iPhone because it goes against some of my core principles in terms of proprietary software, I guess. The black box nature, and then the fact that they lock you into their walled garden, which I think is a form of digital slavery, but that is just my opinion. It's not whatever you consider a fact or not, it is not relevant. So the issue is, in its nature, Android is open source. It's called the ASOCP, AOSP, Android Open Source Project. It is owned and maintained by Google. Now in 2025, June 3rd, we don't know if they're going to be broken up and sold off. They're in a lawsuit right now where I think they lost. I'm not entirely sure. Don't quote me. But I believe that they will get broken up, and it could be a negative outcome, because Android Open Source Project could get fundamentally sold to a worse company. Think IBM when they bought out Red Hat. And then CentOS was laid to rest much earlier than it should have been. And then it spurred a bunch of companies out of nowhere to fill that gap in the hole, because CentOS was used in a lot of Linux server infrastructure. But again, that's a whole nother topic. So what do? When you are picking out a phone, you should definitely pick out a phone that has long-term security updates, like a Samsung S series. They have long-term security updates and decent security, not the best, but decent at the bare least. And then you should pick a vendor that does really well maintained updating and patching, like the Pixel. If your opportunity would be between a Pixel and a Samsung, I would pick the Pixel, because its hardware security is very on the high end spectrum. It gets the fastest updates it's maintained and owned by Google, and just obviously don't sign with a Google account if you really care about the privacy. You can use the Acrescent store, you can use pure APKs. Google is trying to make it more complicated for this to happen, but that's like, again, that's I could make an entire separate episode where I will talk about what if Google goes rogue and makes it impossible for Graphene OS to exist. What would I do? How I would handle it? What is my future plans and my threat modeling? And this is something that I want to plant a little seed in your head to think about in the worst case scenario. Now, the issue is you have a few other options when it comes to Android because it is open source in its nature. Some people on this market have come out of the works to make privacy, quote unquote, big privacy security phones and security focused phones. Now, we're going to talk about first on the list. I'm not going to go through everything in line, but I want you to take this into consideration. So Graphene OS is an Android open source fork. It is not a custom ROM. I'm using their words, not mine. They explain in high detail why it is what it is. So right now, they only currently support the Pixel series. They have a reasoning for this. They recommend pretty much only purchasing the follow devices for the Graphene OS due to better security and long minimum support. Right now, it is the 7. That is the least support, like the least that you should buy in terms of support. The 6 is okay, but it's not going to last for long. They kind of like supported all the way up to, they supported a Samsung Galaxy S4 in the beginning, and then a Nexus, and then went straight over to the Pixel. They also used to provide official support for the following development boards without publishing official builds, some other stuff. So 2031 is when the Pixel 9 will be out of updates. Pixel 6 will lose updates in 2026. The 6A is 2027. It's going to get a couple more security updates, but I think OEM minimum support length is pretty much 5 years. They went to a 7-year model just recently. And Graphene OS has went to a very easy to understand model. They have good strong storage access and security separation. They have this Google Play Sandbox mode. This allows you to separate everything through the Play Store if you need it. They have Contact Scope that separates, only allows certain contact access to certain apps. Same thing with storage scope. Certain storage scope allows certain access to this set storage. This is for security. This is for better privacy. That is just like plain and simple, and other vendors should follow. You know, just my kind of input there. They have an LTE only mode if you care about that. They have network location that they're trying to make more private. They have all their own basic configured Graphene OS apps. They have their web browser that they have pretty much made more secure. I mean, you have to kind of go on their website to really go through it. I would say just highly suggest go through their website and look at their bare minimum improvements, like USB-C port control. Like, you can change it to charging only when locked to prevent malicious software being updated, and there's a few other, you know, there's a few other security features that they have incorporated. This is a very small, broad perspective to look at, because I could go on for hours on how a lot of this works reading their documentation. That's just in their nature to be really secure, and that is the purpose of it. They have a relatively deep history in Android security. The pretty much GraphQL was founded by Daniel McKay in 2014. It started as a solo project incorporating his previous open source privacy security work. The project initially created a port of OpenBSD malloc to the Android Bionic libc import of the PanX kernel patches. In 2015, a company was incorporated which became the primary sponsor of the project. GraphQL was previously known as CopperOS. And then, you know, they had a lot of controversy. They had some controversy that happened. You would have to go actually read about it. It's not super important, but some people have a problem with how Daniel McKay talks to people. That's irrelevant to me. I mean, I just don't really care, if that makes sense. But that is something that people bring up. They're like, well, he's kind of an asshole, XYZ. Who cares? After splitting from the pretty much that, he made GraphQL, and it's been maintained by a huge development team since. It's getting more increasingly hard for them to work with Google. That's the kind of like the concern. But again, we'll go over that in another episode. So then after GraphQL, you have LineageOS. LineageOS was essentially a fork of something else. It is a fork of the ASOCP. Probably not the best in terms of updating. They fall a lot of these security, quote unquote, long-term supported devices or custom ROMs or people, whatever people want to call them, fork. They're really just forks. They get a rap for not updating properly and soon enough, like fast enough. So you have LineageOS, and then you have the forks of LineageOS. That LineageOS doesn't use MicroG. It's pretty much uses its own form of getting apps. Calyx OS uses MicroG. Calyx OS is another open source privacy focused operating system for Android. They have a list of devices that they support, a list that they don't. Same thing with all the other custom forks. There's E and then IDOD OS. In a simple context, I would just run stock Android personally, because I think that you can have a lot more granular control versus GraphQL. You get more granular control out the gate, but the problem with stock Android is you got to pick the right vendor, because they choose how they update, they choose how you get your security patches and your updates. So there's shitty ones out there, there's non-shitty ones out there. I think Samsung's the least of the worst of all of them after doing like a decent amount of research on them. Security Knox isn't super terrible. If I'm wrong, correct me, I guess. I've been corrected before, so I'm not like opposed to new information. So what happens when you have all this freedom? Well, you get a lot of fucking retards that come into this space. You have something called the Freedom Phone. The Freedom Phone is an unset, creates, it pretty much poses itself as the Freedom Phone is a free speech and privacy first focused phone. It that, you know, that sentiment alone doesn't make any fucking sense. For $500, literally go buy yourself a Pixel A 9A, get a put GraphQL on it, and not even joking, don't install any Google Play services. You do not have to. It is not required. It just works out of the box. There is no proof that there is any spyware at the hardware level. I know that is a common talking point, and it's pretty dumb. They have an uncensored marketplace. Don't know what the fuck that means. Google Android, in its nature, has an uncensored marketplace. You can download apps from anywhere, as long as you can find the APK file. If the APK has been distributed somewhere on the internet, you are most likely going to find it. This is a stupid this is a virtue signal, or I would say maybe like a fear, like they're trying to fearmonger you, like you are, your marketplace is censored. If something gets removed from the Play Store, that doesn't mean that you cannot get it. The developers could make an APK, upload it on GitHub, and you can just go download it. Is that more work? Sure. But is that a problem and censored? Not really. I think most Android users know how to go download an app. They're not like iPhone users locked into some fucking crazy ecosystem. Some of the most popular banned, unbanned conservative sites and apps come preloaded directly on your Freedom Phone. So that doesn't make sense to me, because if it's true freedom, you would just allow me to go buy that. Preloaded apps, in my opinion, is authoritarian and somewhat also kind of fucking retarded. You're like actually not giving me the freedom to choose. You should give me the freedom to choose. Preloaded apps are bloatware, in my opinion. They use something called ClearOS. We developed the first mass marketable mobile phone operating system based on freedom, security, and privacy. Do not know what the fuck it's made of, by the way. They do not have a link to their GitHub. If I can find it somewhere down the road, that would be awesome. This is made by a guy named Friedman or Frint. He's some like Bitcoin millionaire. He made a bunch of money in Bitcoin and he ended up being a super grifty cuck. Just like any other politician or any other cuck on the internet that just wants to make a bunch of fucking money. So they have it's pretty much specs are complete ass. It uses ClearOS Mobile 10. Don't know what the fuck that means. 4 gigs of RAM. USB-C. Okay, cool. Battery, not even removable. Bullshit, not free. Expandable storage, kind of based. Dual SIM tray. 3G bands, 1, 2, I don't even know if this does 4G. Okay, it does 4G. I was about to say that's fucking crazy. Headphone jack, that's the only redeemable quality on here, to be completely honest, because we should bring back headphone jacks. If you do not have a headphone jack, fuck you as a company. We can still have waterproofed device with a headphone jack. That's just a side rant. Storage base, 64 gigs. This is a $400 phone. With like $150 worth of like hardware. Like this is something on like a fucking $100 to $150 phone. That's retarded. I would just buy an inexpensive Samsung and move on. And just download the censored conservative apps. I think you can still get Rumble on the Play Store. All these I think you can get on the Play Store. It doesn't even matter. And they have a picture of DuckDuckGo and that's just weird. So, I would avoid this. And why I would avoid this? Well, it comes with headphones. That's amazing. I think it uses... God, I really wish I knew what the... I really wish I knew what the OS... I think it uses Lineage. It's like a fork. I guarantee it uses Lineage or whatever. They didn't build it from the ground up. I'll just put it that way. From what I've read, they're on insecure hardware, which they probably are. Cheap Chinese phone. Like, makes no fucking sense. And the company is by Finman LLC. It's like some company in fucking Wyoming, which is... It's crazy. The updates, I went to the website called Clear Co. And it is the digital world. Humanity's new operating system has arrived. I don't even know what the fuck this is. What this is based on. Gold trust in the future of digital. Okay. Yeah. Clear. Wow, they don't got a good website, I'll tell you that. And it sucks because it's like they try to make it like they're for people, the people. They're shilling Ripple, which Ripple's dog shit. Stellar, don't know what the fuck that is. Garbage. Ethereum died a long time ago. Bitcoin sucks. Fuck Bitcoin. Cardano is the only good thing because it's written in Haskell. It's the only reason I like it. And Solana can suck my nuts. It's literally saying it's decentralized, run on AWS servers. I don't know if it is true anymore. A lot of this is terrible. By the way, not recommended. Because it is a bunch of grift. You cannot have a private phone on insecure hardware with possibly insecure software. If somebody is listening to this and they go find the source code and look through it and get back to me on my Matrix channel, or my Simple X channel, please do so. I would really appreciate. I would just love some insight, honestly, as a not even a content creator, just as an enjoyer, because I don't see any link to their GitHub repo. But we're gonna go on to the next, something called the unplugged phone. The unplugged phone is another complete shit show. And again, this is something that I'm trying to make sure that you get some value out of it. When you have stuff like this, like Lineage OS, E, Calyx OS, IDO, all these people that put impractical security and put quote unquote privacy above all, but they pick insecure hardware, you kind of lose the plot. Like, you lose the point. I'm not saying Graphene OS should or ought to be the only operating system, but we definitely need to put into perspective how to make easy, secure devices accessible. That's it. A Pixel series is 9A is $500. You can get the 8A and the 7A variants much cheaper. If you want two-ish more years update, you can get the 6A, and you're good. Like, you that would be kind of a waste, but you can find it for like $150. It'd be kind of a waste, but if you want good, decent security, like, it's the only option. So it is a proprietary, they pretty much unplugged used a proprietary privacy OS. Everyone on Reddit's like, it's the Fed phone. They are not good people. Apparently from what I read, it's a reskinned Android phone with half-witted attempt at de-Googling. At worst, it's pretty much a honeypot. The guy apparently worked for Pegasus that got this company. And we're going to go into something called the Anom phone in a minute. It appears to be backed by a guy named Eric Prince, formerly head of Blackwater. Where the fuck would you trust anyone that runs in Blackwater or has anything to do with that? Their VPN is kind of insane, but I think they've open sourced it since then. And they published the source code on GitHub, but we're gonna get to the price first. First off, you got me fucked up. It's like $900. It's $1,000. We're just gonna say $1,000. It's out of stock for mid-July. They pretty much claim it makes all your data invisible. Already a red flag. No third-party tracking. Already a red flag. Call, share, browse securely. Whatever. Best in-class octa-core CPU. Irrelevant. Anonymize, encrypt, and shield. Android encrypts your data. Your disk encrypts your data regardless. Unified privacy OS. VPN, antivirus. That they stole. And violated GPL licensing. It's pretty much a privacy-first, proprietary, and secure smartphone designed by cybersecurity professionals for everyday use. Proprietary. Yeah, so it is still proprietary. So they can suck my balls on that one. Why the fuck would you trust that alone? Guys, it does GPS, though. Type-C, Bluetooth. It uses a MediaTek ARM Cortex CPU. I believe there are a lot of these companies will use cheap Chinese MediaTek CPUs that do not get updates anymore. And it's not good. When was this launched? This was, I'm trying to find dates. 2021. That's pretty old. And I think people have said, there's a security issue with it. Like, it doesn't, Yeah. There was a vulnerability back in 2021 for MediaTek chips that could allow apps to eavesdrop on you, but it's been fixed that you know of. But GrapheneOS and the Up phone. They had an argument. They had it like they were having an argument on the internet with each other. And before we get to that argument, I think it was Twitter. And it's kind of insane because they were making claims in GrapheneOS. They were talking to. They're having like a discussion with GrapheneOS, and they were saying some mis got some mis. They were saying like misinformation, and they ended up pretty much debunking them with receipts. I've never personally had an issue with like people calling other people out, and it's kind of interesting because I think GrapheneOS has a good track record of responding to stuff, and they also have a good track record of calling people out on their bullshit. Now, there's gonna be a final phone, the final boss after this. But we're gonna focus here. If I could find the post, maybe I should have prepared. What a dumb name for a phone. The Upphone really. Oh, unplugged phone. I'm saying the Upphone. It's something on Libert OS. Oh, here it is. Unplugged are a recent entry in the crowd space of selling insecure hardware with significantly worse privacy and security than an iPhone as a highly private and secure bottom-of-the-barrel MediaTek device with an outdated ASSP is worse than status quo. All marketing, no substance. This was in 2024. As a part of their marketing, their products Unplugged are spreading an unsustainable spin on misinformation about GrapheneOS and that much more secure hardware we target. We've been aware of it for a while, but choose not to respond until they began doing it directly upon us. GrapheneOS is a hardened OS built on the latest release of the Android open source project rather than older release with inferior privacy and security and incomplete privacy and security patches. We substantially improve privacy security with our changes rather than making it worse. And by the way, GrapheneOS is massively big on open source and not having these grips. The Pixel have first pretty much class alternate OS support, which does not come with the expense of security. Supporting or of installing an alternative OS is implemented security as a part of the best class in boot chain and secure element security for the Android device. Support has been a benefit of security. It's pretty much highly regarded as a private and security by researchers. They've made major upstream contributions to the Android open source project. GrapheneOS is not only leveraged at the same hardware-based security features as the OS, but implements major hardware security patching. Unplugged has tried to misrepresent these improvements and falsely claim that they're uniquely irrelevant to the Pixel due to an alternative OS support. That's not true. Unplugged uses older Android releases. They do not have this ASSP patch. Their hardware is missing many standard security features, including these two recent improvements shipped on Pixels. The hardware doesn't even come close to meeting our list of security standards on paper. Unplugged has tried to spread fear, uncertainty, and doubt about the hardware we support, despite it being much more secure and trustworthy. MediaTek does not have good security reputation. It has repeatedly shipped real backdoors, unlike substantial claims for Unplugged. Unplugged was founder was Eric Prince, the same person who founded Blackwater. Eric and others involved EPO deploy deeply tied to human rights abuse and surveillance around the world. Best case scenario is they're simply grifting for like the Freedom Phone. Worst case scenario is it's much worse. Unplugged followed up with us and misinformation about GrapheneOS. Our initial response was right here. Since they posted huge tweets, we replied to our own huge tweet with inline quotes of everything. Unplugged also in infringing on other open source licensing multiple projects, including DiveOS, where they ripped off their AV from without attribution. They even still use DiveOS service without permission. Skewed Zeppelin is the lead developer of DiveOS. Yours all text. That's just something to keep in mind. The messages service is simply Matrix. Matrix is not good for private messaging system because it does not encrypt any metadata or even emoji reactions. All this metadata is stored on each server in each room. Members, power levels, time zones, etc. GrapheneOS pretty much dunks on them. Should have led with this. I wouldn't have had it read any further. It's just kind of funny. Pretty much, it does sound like Anom, by the way, and we're going to get to Anom in a minute. They use... I like Matrix, but there are problems that they point out. Pretty much, they have, like, these claims, and it's kind of interesting. Here, response to continue the conversation. What you've done is push more spin and misinformation about open source projects and promote your insecure product, MediaTek, based on false privacy and security claims. Let's agree to disagree. While the web installer is easier than using a command line, the majority of general population still finds it challenging. We're not agreeing to disagree with scammers with the years of involvement in human rights abuse and close ties to authoritarian regimes. As for the comment about existing reputation, every company has a starting point. We created the Unplug to bring privacy to the masses and make it convenient. If we are successful, our reputation will grow. The open source team at GrapheneOS has certainly been laboring to achieve the privacy and security for its users for almost a decade. Thank you for paving the path for our privacy-focused companies and organizations to give consumers alternatives. We definitely see ourselves as rolling in the same direction. No, you create it to make money. You do not believe anything beyond making money. You are marketed the product. We are highly inaccurate privacy and security. You are scamming people of spreading information about open source project and further contributes to it. The past history of many people involved in your company didn't get erased through a new one. Unlocking may not... Oh. They talk about pretty much you aren't on the same side as us. Unlocking may not void warranty, but if something goes wrong, you can't revert back to stock ROM. Support might be limited. No, stop lying. Pretty much they're pretty much lying about it. I don't know of a way you can actually break your phone in current 2025. Even I just came across a video that I want to do a little bit more research in. The guy said that GrapheneOS on his Pixel 4 XL, for some reason, he was installing it on, wouldn't allow him to relock the bootloader, and said it became a brick and a paperweight, and that's why you shouldn't really trust GrapheneOS. It's kind of bullshit. And they go more deep into this, but it is just something that to be thought of. This is a overpriced sacked weight of bullshit in hindsight. Now, to make a quick synopsis of the next one and why it matters. The Anom phone is something to think about. There was something called Operation Trojan Shield. Operation Trojan Shield was part of an organized Operation Ironside. It was a collaboration of law enforcement agencies from several countries running between 2018 and 2021. It was a sting operation that intercepted millions of messages sent through supposedly secure smartphone-based proprietary messaging apps, Anom. This is why you should not trust proprietary software. The Anom service was widely used by criminals, but instead providing secure communication, it was actually a Trojan horse, aka a honeypot, distributed by the United Federal, the FBI, and the Australian Federal Police, AFP, enabling them to monitor all communications through collaboration with law enforcement agencies worldwide. The operation resulted in over 800 suspected arrested, allegedly involved in criminal activities in 16 countries. Among the arrests were alleged members of the Australian-based Italian Mafia, Albanian organized crime, outlaw motorcycle clubs, drug syndicates, and other organized crime groups, and I've heard even politicians. Not to go much deeper in this, but this essentially... A guy got approached by some investigation. I'm like very loosely under like explaining it. Their Darknet Diaries has a good episode on it, and tons of other publications people have reported on it. I highly recommend you go just read it, go listen to it. It's a very good story to why you shouldn't trust anyone trying to sell you a fucking pipe dream. Or if it sounds too good to be true, it must be. Now you got to remember, this was proprietary software, meaning you had to trust them. This is not based on the open source model of where people can go and look for something that looks a little sus. Now, is open source completely secure and safe and better? Not really. I mean, I'm not going to lie. But essentially, Operation Trojan Shield allowed people to think that they were using secure communications. And in the back of my head, anytime I send something, I always have a internal thought that this can go public at any point in any time. This is why I'm in favor of SimpleX, because it helps protect your anonymity, and disappearing messages on Signal on a time base is something that you should also keep into consideration, making sure that these messages are deleted, for hopefully that they're not being recorded and stored somewhere else. But essentially, that's what Anom was. I'm not going to say it's a honeypot, but it gives me glowy vibes, completely honest. Liebert OS is retarded. Saying something's proprietary and privacy-centric that we can't trust is somewhat of a red flag. Off means off is a bunch of bullshit. Other phones may be remotely active while off. There is no proof of that, by the way. Turn the data off, vacuum off. The up privacy centric gives you a granular control of your device privacy settings, Bluetooth camera, location, microphone, securely online experience with Liberty Firewall. This already exists in Android. Graphene OS already gives you access to this. You do not need this proprietary bullshit OS on a device that costs $1,000, fucking crazy. You can just do airplane mode or turn it off. Your phone will not be able to access. There is no proof that there is the ability to access a phone when it's completely off. This is a misconception, and it needs to be stopped. Spread. It needs to be stopped being spread. The kill switch, retarded. You can just do a software switch. If your phone is compromised, the kill switch will not help you. Now that you understand that, I'm going to save you $1,000. Get a Samsung device if you really do not want a Pixel. S-Series update. Debloat it. There. Saved you a lot of money and time. And that was a subpar phone, by the way, from my experience. Now we're going to go to the worst. There's something called the Brax Me Phone by Rob Braxman. Raised over $1 million. Fucking crazy, by the way. It got funded in 4 days. It is almost $400, $350. What are these fucking crackheads fucking charging? They get these cheap, inexpensive Brax 3 Plus iOS Premium. Oh, God. It's just so bad. They're charging like $300-$400. Just spend an extra $200 and just get a Pixel. And by the way, iOS, uses, if it uses micro G, I'm going to let you on a little secret from very educated people. It uses parts of Google. It's just that simple. It uses connections to Google. There's parts in micro G that need Google in order to work. It's no Google, fully de-Googled phone, fully private. Garbage take. Disable Google search engine. Enjoy safe browser using IDEO browser. Disable telemetry and trackers. You can just do this fucking yourself. It's not that hard to download a browser and use it. People shouldn't have pre-installed apps, in my opinion. It sucks. Vidadium is like the most decent, maybe pre-installed browser, but you don't have to use it. Just use Brave. And use their search engine. Or CRX. I mean, I have a whole list of shit that people... I have a list of apps in my Discord server that helps you move away from Google as much as possible. Free and open source options. Just throwing that out there. No Google connection. The Braxy doesn't connect to any Google services, including NTP, DNS, connectivity. Instead, it uses a dedicated privacy Brax servers to get those necessary servers. God, what a fucking awful take. You can just use your own DNS provider. And there, if your VPN the VPN is not set up correctly, if the DNS isn't set up correctly, it can leak and reveal a lot of sensitive information. There's something called tunnel vision, and then there are also VPN kill switches on most Android smartphones is not good. It is pretty bad. It's actually super bad. Continuous hardware support. It's not good. It's just an overpriced phone. They haven't even shipped until April 2025, but his website's kind of outdated. And it's being just manufactured in China. It's just showing me manufacturing. In production. Like, I don't have a problem with stuff being made in other countries, but damn, dude, it is not good. If I'm wrong, I'll eat my feet. Live de-Googled phone misunderstandings plus Q&A. It's just... But we're going to go over the seller is a known snake oil. Personally, Brax is my best just ignore category. I don't know anything about the phone. I wrote a long comment about Rob Braxman on this forum with many sources in case you want to look at it. It's someone does a pretty good job at breaking down the... Like, pretty much breaking down, why he's a kind of like a he misleads his viewers. He doesn't really understand, maybe Android security. You can understand security and not understand Android security. You can understand a lot of things. In security is such a huge field. You might never get into the, like, you might never touch a specific field anywhere else. That is something you have to understand. It's not easy. It's not easy to admit that you don't know what you're talking about. And I see this a lot in the science community where they're like, that's not part of my... Like, I heard a physicist talking the other day, and he was being probably genuine honest. He's like, oh, that's not part of my expertise. He just blatantly said, this isn't part of my expertise. I'm a physicist. I'm a scientist, but I don't understand this. He gives his opinion. He's like, this is an opinion. I give it, but this isn't... Like, they know how to stay in their own lane. It's okay to stay in your own lane and be like, I don't understand this. That's like... Micro G... Play services, Rob Braxman is not trustworthy. Micro G is not for use on Graphene OS. We all have our own most secure implementation and methodology for play services. If you need any Google services, then please read the documentation of our site, particularly they also explains, I can't remember where I read, Micro G still, I think it was the DiveOS, the DiveOS team member, where they explained that Micro G uses parts of Google to function, that it's needed. He pretty much attacked GrapheneOS with misinformation because having real privacy options available for free instead of fake ones is problematic for his business model. GrapheneOS is free as in freedom, free as in cost. Tommy Tran does a really good breakdown. Like, very good. He says, he points out the last few videos by him about the baseband modem are full of misinformation. Modern chips by Qualcomm and MediaTek have now something called IOMMU, isolating the baseband modem from the rest of the system, even if detector completely compromised. Some people think that, they think that, like, the baseband can be used to compromise people, and that it's always on and it never turns off, and a bunch of other shit. Now, Tommy Tran is a security engineer. He runs the blog PrivSec Dev. I think he does some other stuff. I think he's posted his certs. Pretty much, I think he joined his social media site where he did not zucking. Rob is like, I did not zucking lie, which is really cringe, by the way, if you're that old and you say that. And it's very weird. You're just being obnoxious here. I do not control what manufacturers will do with their firmware updates. They're all third parties. We are aware that Lineage OS has been updating Pixel 3 even today. We know what the OS will update. You do not fucking know if your manufacturer will ever update the firmware. Most never update them since day one. I don't know if that's true. So it's in discussion. Go buy a Google phone. While the rage, you do not realize that you cannot find out when the firmware updates will end by talking to the OEM, right? You also realize that firmware updates is a monthly thing on Android, as the OEMs have to follow the Android security bulletin, right? Your responsibility as someone who sells phones is to extract those firmware updates and ship them to the user. If you're unable to do so, at least be honest with them and let them know it's upfront. They have, like, pretty much said, hey, your update policies are bad, and you need to fix this. This was back in 2022. Maybe he's fixed it since then. Probably not. He also said in another forum, talking to someone else, that, and this is 2021, by the way, that the Pixel LTE will get support till 2030. The model will likely sure be good for 4 years, but will likely need a battery change. This is talking about the Pixel 3a, by the way. He's like, most people don't even buy phones beyond 2 years. That's a lie. You can look at the data. Most people upgrade 2 to 3 years. It depends on the state and the country. Some countries are 2 to 3 years tier. I know some of these statistics for some weird reason. Will it get full security updates for 2 years then? I care generally less about how long you could use the phone for. I do want the patches, says random person in the chat. Yes, I would expect that. Pixel 1 just lost security updates this year, and that's because no carrier uses anymore. That's a wild take. That has nothing to do with it. How long would it get support for? LTE would be short till 2030. And the guy, he fact-checked him. He's like, I checked this page. It doesn't look like the Pixel 3 will receive any updates. How are you able to provide it? Rob Rexman's support is from Lineage OS. If you're concerned about this, then choose a newer phone. If you're going to use a phone as I recommend, which is not like, it's not like it's your life, then there's little to be concerned about. The phone has no identity. That's stupid. That's a stupid argument. And I thought the firmware updates really updated along with the OS itself, at least on stock Android. And no, an OS has nothing to do with that. In theory, Qualcomm MediaTek can do over-the-air updates on their own. It's just like he doesn't like any criticism. It's not good. It's not a good look. And then Graphene OS criticized him a couple times, and I think they have criticized him back. Lemmy was like kind of like he shells his VPN after he fearmongers people to watch his video. Typical salesman strategy, do not bother. Most of the time he knows jack shit about how things work. Techlore is infinitely better. Techlore, the hated one, Wolfgang, Mental Outlaw. Sun Kuzden mentioned, by the way, based. They do some pretty good. They do some pretty good, decent options out there. This is 4 years ago. But this is like them shitting about. Like, they're like, he's not good. And he doesn't take criticism, by the way. That's not a good trait to have. He's pretty much wrong about how 2FA works, and I think people have called him out for it. He misleads people completely out of subject, but it's... It's like, this is a common thing where people make these phones and they do not care about their users. They're like, people like defend his like, everyone's like, and everyone's kind of unanimously agree. They're like, media-based system of the chips is just no. And everyone's like, just buy Pixel. And I can understand why, if you are unaware of this information and you come across this, you, like, as a human, might fall for it. And people are like, he's a good person, he's standing for privacy and security. But if you're selling shit devices that's hurting people's privacy and security, then fucking no, he's not. You need to call it out. It's completely fine. If I was here shilling for a specific VPN and they end up being a bad company, then I am responsible. I am liable. I shilled for it. And it's worse if even I know about it, if I'm knowledged. I feel the same way. People are on another sub calling him a scammer and a cheat, but he seems okay to me. I wouldn't buy his phones as they can do that myself, like his content. Like, it's not the point of, it's not the point of like if he's doing the right thing or the wrong thing. He doesn't know how to take criticism, and he has a relatively awful device. And some people says he's not, he puts himself at the same level as Brett, Matadian, did a very good, post on like privacy and security, and it's nice because I think they had a really decent take on reasonable privacy and security. They have their own blog where they talk about how to do it, and they do have a tendency to call out privacy and security. And the thing is, like, again, this is such a broad space. There are people that can just come into it and say whatever the fuck they want. Not a good thing. I would avoid those projects altogether, personally. I mean, at the end of the day, you need to make your own decision and do your own research. If you come to the conclusion that these are worth it and you want to quote-unquote de-Google your life, which that's a very hard thing to do. Google touches a lot of services, a lot of products. They're almost like a backbone internet. They have their own DNS server. DNS is literally used everywhere. I mean, some people write apps with Google in mind, like with Firebase on the back end, so they don't get censored. there's a counter argument for a lot of this stuff that, you know, does Google care about privacy? No, but they're an ad company, so it's no fucking shit. But at the same time, does that mean that they have bad security practices? No. Google has relatively good security practices. They're good security. They have good security in mind. They know how to make good secure software to a certain degree. They've thought out of the box and has hired really good engineers to make sure that people are secure on the online environment. Same thing with Windows. They've had good security engineers. Windows gets a bad rap. I do not like Windows. I do not like proprietary software in pretty much all cases. But, you know, I got to live in society. I don't personally use Windows. But if I were to hand an inexperienced Linux user a full root operating system with unlimited privilege access, that's far worse than a person that is slightly knowledgeable about what to run and what not to run on Windows, and it's better secured. I mean, it's Mac OS, same thing, better secured. iPhone, better security. Like, these are products where they take their money and they dump it into their security for a reason, because they acknowledge they're like, there's a lot of people about to be using this. Do I like it? No. Do I want Windows to be the only option? No. Do I want Linux to be more secure? Yeah, absolutely. But I do not think we should glorify or embrace these shit products. And again, you probably, if you've made it to the end, you're probably asking, why the fuck should I care? Because if you care about digital freedom and you care about privacy and security, you should pick the best option and be informed. You should make this decision based on the information that I gave you, just like how you should go do your own research and not listen to some dildo on the internet yelling to the mic at 11 at night. That's just my personal take. I don't think it is going to be an easy road. I think we as a society should look to better and more secure options out there. That's just my take. And I feel like I've ranted long enough. At the end of this, I think you should make the decision for yourself, because ultimately I believe in freedom. But if you care about privacy and security at the end, you should probably pick the better option. And you should make that decision yourself, what you think the better option is. Remember, follow me on Odyssey. Go to my link stack. Follow me on YouTube, Rumble. Fuck YouTube, even though I still post there. And I'll see you guys in the next one. And check out my blog.